Chapter number 3, as you know, or the theme for the conference is the windows of heaven. And one of the reasons why the book of Malachi was written is because the children of Israel become an apathetic. They were disillusioned with their walk with the Lord, and they were disillusioned. They didn't have the desire to serve God, and they were just kind of going along about their way. And I'm afraid that that's what we can also suffer from as well. You know, there was one fellow was talking to his next door neighbor about a speaker he heard the night before. He told the neighbor, "This guy said something that has really stuck in my mind." He said that all the world's problems could be summed up by two words: ignorance and apathy. "What do you think?" The neighbor replied, "I really don't know, and I really don't care." So that's apathy. That's what it's all about. There was also Soren Kierkegaard. The 19th century Danish religious philosopher told a story about a town where only ducks lived. Every Sunday, the ducks would waddle out of their houses and waddle down Main Street to their church. They waddled into the sanctuary and sat into their proper pews. The duck choir waddled in and took its place, and then the duck minister came forward and opened the duck Bible. He read to them, "Ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly. With wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you. No fence can hold you. You have wings. God has given you wings, and you can fly like birds." All the ducks shouted, "Amen!" And then they waddled home. Isn't that the case? Oftentimes we hear the word of God and we shout amen. We're excited about it, but then we go about our day-to-day business. And we are praying and begging God that all of us, and one thing I want to say is I've already seen many instances of you all caring and being concerned about world missions. So I hope that this, if there is someone here that does not have the desire, if you have kind of grown into a place of disillusionment and you just don't care that much anymore, I pray that God would spark your interest and stir your heart tonight. But I want to say also that I've already seen some of that spark, and may you continue and flame that spark and continue the fire and the desire to reach your community, and may this just encourage that along. And so as we read here in Malachi, the question I would like to ask you tonight: have you become disillusioned with your walk with God? Have you lost interest? This apathy, a feeling or attitude of indifference, unconcern, and detachment. If one has no feeling about something, then they will have no personal action. And that is the main concern. I know that I have fallen into this at times, and I know it's easy to do that. If we don't have any personal feeling towards it, then there will be no personal action. And that's what our desire is, because we know that that's what God wants. He wants our heart. And that's what this whole book of Malachi is all about. He wants their heart and not just a religion, because that's what often will happen. We get disillusioned with religion because it's not what God wants. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to walk in step with Him and care for the people of this world and care about serving and honoring Him. What are the two greatest commandments? Jesus said is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and mind, and thy strength. But also to love your neighbor as yourself. And that really sums this up. And God is trying to stir the hearts of the people, and specifically towards Him. And so as we think about that, we see that God has a cure for apathy here. And that cure is to prove God. Stir up and see that God is able to do all that He says that He will do. Because often what will happen, we go about coming to church, and a lot like the ducks, we get excited when we're at church, but then the day-to-day activities of our life, there is no desire to want to serve God. There's no drawing near to Him. There's no desire to see Him move in your life. You know, I don't know about you, but I love when God moves in my life. One of the most exciting times is when God speaks to my heart specifically through His Word. You know, because oftentimes we read the Word, and it's important for us for growing us and maturing us, just like any meal that we have on a day-to-day basis. You know, most meals we enjoy, but then there's some meals where you're just like, wow, that was so good. That meal was wonderful. And that's the way, when God speaks to my heart, I get excited about that. And I don't know about you, but that's what causes us to care. And that's what causes us to want to serve Him the more. And so what you can see, there's some things we learn in Malachi here that will stir our hearts and help us and remove apathy if there's any that's creeping into our lives, and stir our hearts to want to serve Him more. And so we'll read here in chapter number 3, verse number 7. We'll start at verse number 6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And the reason why I'm reading that verse is because we must realize, yes, this book is talking to the children of Israel. But God doesn't change. His desire to have a relationship with mankind, and he has proven that by sending his son to die for us. I mean, he's the one that made the first move. He's the one that gave his son so that we might have a relationship with him, has not changed, and he has not changed. And he wants each one of us to have that personal, exciting relationship with him. And so then he goes on to say, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now there herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. You say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for this evening, Lord, to be here. And I thank you for the desire of this church to want to care for world missions, to stir up our hearts and see the windows of heaven opened up. And you tell us how that can happen here, God. And I pray that you would pull any of us out of there slipping into apathy and slipping into a not caring for things of you, Lord, that you care about, the souls of mankind. And God, that you would stir us up and help us to apply this to our lives so that we might be stirred up for you and do more for your honor, for your glory, and see the windows of heaven opened up. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, it says here at verse number 7, it says, "Return unto me and I will return unto you." If you find yourself here tonight that you have kind of fallen away from God, that you don't seem to have that excitement of serving the Lord like you did when you first got saved, or you find yourself that you just don't seem to care. Now, I know that on a Monday night crowd of a missions conference that you all have a desire to serve God, because that's why you're here. That's why you've taken time out of your schedule to be there. But if this doesn't apply to you tonight, may this, if it ever happens, if you find yourself not wanting to be here on the Monday night of the missions conference, or not wanting to be here when the doors are open, then maybe you'll remember this, to return to God, because that's the first step, is to draw near to him. That's what it says in James chapter number 4, verse number 8. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We come to God on our terms and not his. That's one thing that's very important. You know, sometimes people come disillusioned with God, or they don't care. They become apathetic in their relationship with God because they have been trying to come to God on their terms. And we never do that. He's the one that created us. He's the one that says the way that we should worship him and seek him. You know, we don't want to be like Cain. We don't want to go the way of Cain. Cain came to God on his terms, not on God's terms. You know, that's why Abel's was accepted and Cain was not, because Cain came on his terms. And so if you become disillusioned with God, maybe ask yourself, you know, have I been coming to God on my terms? Have I put God in a nice little box that this is the way that God is, and this is how my relationship will be with him based on how I come to him? Or will it be based on what he says to do? I will come in his will, in his way. And so draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh into you. He wants to you to have that relationship with Him. He wants you to be reading His Word, to be talking to Him on a day in and day out basis. We can come, as Pastor was praying in there, that we can come boldly before the throne room of grace. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we have access to God? Like Ephesians says, we can come and talk to Him at all times. And so we need to do that. We need to spend time with Him. But not only that, if you want to hear from God, we need to be in His Word. That's how we draw nigh to God, as we come and listen to what does His Word say, reading on a day and day out basis. I would encourage you to read God's Word on every single day, because you will grow and you will grow closer to God. You will have His mind and His heart for the world as you read His Word. And so He says, draw nigh to me. And how you do that is by talking to Him and praying His Word back to Him and obeying what His Word says. Notice how it says here in verse number 7 and in James. It talks about you've gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. And James, it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We want to have the same walk that we have with God in church as we do outside of church as we do inside church. We should be the same all the time. We should be loving God outside of church just like we are here, and have that same mind with Him, the same mind with Him. And so we want to draw nigh to Him on His terms. And so we do that here. So that's the first thing, that the remedy for apathy is to draw nigh to God. But not only that, the second one here, it says in verse number 8 through 12, it talks about God opens it up here. And oftentimes when money's talked about, everyone gets a little bit uncomfortable. But I want to make sure that you understand something from this passage. There's two different kinds of offerings that he's talking about. One, first of all, he talks about the tithes. And the tithes are simply everything that God has given you. The income that God has provided for you, you're saying to Him that I'm going to give you 10% back. And many will say, well, maybe that's the Old Testament principle. And I'm sure you've heard this before. This is nothing new, but we live in the age of grace. And so I think 10% is that where we should, that's the minimum. I mean, we should give everything to God. He says, present yourself a living sacrifice unto Him. But the tithes are those, that 10% that we give back to God. And what it does, it first of all puts you in a heart relationship with God, where you first say, I know that You are the one that provided me all things, God. And so I'm going to give back to You the first fruits of my paycheck, the first fruits of my income. But then the second purpose, God has purposed the tithe to take care of your pastor, to take care of the church. And the Bible says that your pastor who labors in the Word of God deserves a double portion. And so he should be well taken care of. And so you want to do that. But that's not what this conference is about. It's about the second part of this verse here. It talks about the offerings. So the tithes are something that's basic for every single believer. I mean, just basic Christianity. Everyone should be doing that. But then the offerings are another part altogether. And throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, offerings are that we do today, because there were different kinds of offerings that were available in the Old Testament. But most of those have been done away with because they were atonement type offerings. That means you were trying to atone for your sin. But we know that that's been taken care of. Jesus finished it on the cross when He said, it is finished. It was done. But there is what's called a free will offering, and it's talked about in the New Testament as well. And that's what's important to us. That means we're saying, God, we love You, and we want to give You an extra offering. And it's four things. And in relations to a missions conference, it would be four faith promise. It's when things come up in the church or needs come up in the church and an offering is being requested. And then when the offering's requested, you decide, is this something that I want to participate in? But there's one important thing about a free will offering. And I know the name kind of gives it away, but it's a free will offering. That means you freely give it. It's if you give the offering out of guilt. If you give the offering out of, you know, like you feel like, oh, the pastor's making me do it, or the missionary's making me do it, or the speaker's making me do it, then it's not a free will offering, because you're not coming because you love God and you just want to offer it up to Him because of how good He's been to you. You know, one of the things that a missionary does when he says, I surrender all to God, you're saying, God, You saved my life. And so I freely give You my life. I'm going to go and take the gospel to the world. That's a free will offering with your life. But in this case, it's talking about offering up goods or resources that you have. And you only do it not out of guilt, Not out of someone pressuring you to do it. It's only out of a cheerful heart, which it talks about in Corinthians. That's the reason. So if you ever give it for any other reason, then you're going to lose the windows of heaven blessing that it's talking about here. You do it because you love God. And so as I go on, if the Holy Spirit's touching your heart for something, or as you go throughout this conference and you're thinking about the faith promise, remember that faith promise car is a free will offering. It's all about, I love you, God, and I care for the things that you care about, and I want to get the gospel to the world, and so I want to participate. What would you have me to do? And so as we read this on here, notice how, first of all, and I'm going to go back and touch on the tithe a little bit here. It says in verse number 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, and you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, if you're here tonight and you're thinking, you know, I don't have the finances. My financial situation is in a wreck. I just don't know if I could even possibly do it because my whole financial system, I've never been very good with finances and things like that. One of the things I would ask you, are you tithing? Because what God is saying here is because you're not tithing, you're cursed. Your finances will always be a mess because you're not tithing. And so if that's you tonight, and just know that, well, the first thing I would encourage you to do and challenge you based on God's word is start tithing right away. Get out there and just start doing it. You're saying, well, I can't do that. How could I do that? I'm already a financial mess. How could I even do that? But if you believe God, and you trust him. And I'm up here, I'm 50 years old, and we've been living as I've been in your seats for many, many, many years. And as we have been faithfully serving God and tithing and giving to Faith Promise, giving and stuff like that, God's always taking care of our needs, and our finances have been in order. So I can tell you from testifying as well, but the Word of God says that. But not only that, do we see here that, but then in verse number 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now therewith. So God, he loves for you to try to prove him. That's what he's saying here. He says, prove me there. You know, in another chapter, and when we surrendered to the missions, there was a psalm that God gave me. It's Psalm 34. And in that psalm, right in the middle of it, in verse number 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And he gave us that psalm, and all throughout that psalm, it talks about trusting in God. And I know the reason why he gave us that psalm. My wife and I memorized it because we wanted to be able to hold on to something. And I'm so glad we did, because that psalm helped us so many times through difficult situation. But through all of them, we had to trust God. But the one that jumped out to us was, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So as we've stepped out in this journey of walking with God and serving him on the mission field, as we head that way, we're saying, God, we're going to taste and see, are you good? Because that's the challenge. God is challenging that psalm, and he's challenging you and I here. He's saying, prove me. Prove me. Can you outgive me? Can you outbless me? And you know, the fact of the matter is, you cannot. You cannot. And God will open the windows of heaven here. And so, and one of the things that you can do if you're starting to slide into apathy, if you're starting to slide into delusionment, or you're a fool there, born there, why don't you step out in faith and try to prove God here? It is the cure for apathy. As you see God move, as you step out in faith and be willing to ask God, God, what would you have me to put on the faith promise card? What would you have me to give towards world mission as a free will offering? Not because I'm challenged by the missionary, but I'm challenged by the Word of God, and I love you, and I want to do whatever you're asking me to do. You know, one of the things is, Rebecca and I have stepped out in faith and tasted and see that the Lord is good. Guess what we found? He is good. Amen. He is taking care of our every need. In fact, he's probably, he's over blessed us sometimes, and we just feel so overwhelmed about how good he has been to us. You know, as we've stepped out in faith, and I know that the McCormicks can testify this as well, we're stepping out, we're trusting God to provide our needs. And oftentimes, he provides way over and abundant of those needs. I mean, we can't even believe somehow how sometimes what he does. And he has organized time with our family that I could never organize, but he'd worked it out just right. One example, just the other day, my dad lives in Utah. We live in Georgia, and our daughter lives in Florida, okay? And we were going down to visit my daughter Abigail in Florida. And my dad says, I was talking to him and I said, well, what are you doing this week? Oh, we're actually going to be down in Alabama at the beach. And it's like 50 miles away from where we're at. And said, hey, can you meet for dinner? And so we were able to get together and spend time with the family. And I know that, you know, that may sound like a little thing, but it's huge when we know that we're going to be gone for many, many years without seeing them. But God arranged all that. And that's just one small example of many blessings. But we can prove God, and He will always outgive us. And so that's what He's saying. Look what He says. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He's saying He will just pour it out. But look at the blessing that He says in verse number 11. And you know, I'm so grateful to study this passage this week because, you know, Pastor, I've been hearing pastors at missions conference for so long saying, you know, maybe if you give to Faith Promise, that maybe your washing machine won't break down. Or maybe your air conditioner won't break down. Or maybe your car will last longer on a set of tires than it did before. And I thought, well, that's probably good, but I don't know if the Bible says that. But you know, look at what it says here. Look at what it says here. It actually indicates that very thing. It says, and I will rebuke the devourer. See, the devourer wants to come and he wants to destroy the crops. Realize that this is an agricultural society, that they rely on their crops. If their crops don't do well, then they don't do well either. They don't get fed. They don't have the resources that they need. But God's saying, not only will I bless you to fill up the storehouses, but I'm going to prevent the devourer from coming in and stealing your crops from you. Well, we don't have crops today, but what do we have? We have cars that need to run for a little bit longer, right? We have AC units that need to run, especially here in Phoenix, Arizona. We have washer and dryers and stuff like that. So God's saying, I will prevent the devourer from causing some problems or havoc in your life. Mayhem, right? Mayhem in your life. And so I thought this was very interesting that it does say that. It does say God will prevent the devourer from coming in. If you will prove Him, if you will say, I'm going to give to you, God, trusting by faith that you will provide for all of my needs and you will fill the storehouses of my house. And God's saying, I will take care of that. And He says, also, I will prevent the devourer from doing that. But not only that, I don't know about you, but I like to be called blessed. I like when people recognize God's blessing in my life. He says that in verse number 12. He said, all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. As people see the blessing of God on your life, they'll be like, wow, God really blesses you. Now, of course, they won't give Him the credit, but hopefully we will, right? Hopefully when we see the blessing of God on our life, we'll tell others and point to God and say, God did that. I couldn't have done that, but God did that. And so we will have the blessing of God's on his life. So first of all, we need to draw nigh unto God, but then he says to prove you. And then lastly, and we'll close with this, is that not only do we need to return, draw nigh unto God, and not only do we need to prove him, but we need to stop saying or thinking it is vain to serve the Lord. Notice this in verse number 13. It says, your words have been stout against me. God's saying your words are stout against me. That means they've been hard for me to hear. They're stout to hear for me. And he says, you have said it is vain to serve God. If you are here this night, tonight, maybe you've told your children it is vain to serve God. You know, you don't want to be a missionary. That's vain. You want to do something else. You want to be an engineer. You want to be a doctor. You want to be all these different things. You want to make a lot of money. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but it is not vain to serve God. All of us should try. We should lift up the offices of those that are serving God. And each one of you that serves God, you should never think, oh, if I come and clean the church on Saturday morning, I'm just wasting my time. No. You know, we see this, the principle in the New Testament. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, some said that he was not resurrected. And God says, if he's not resurrected, then everything I do is in vain. And so he comes to the conclusion of the matter. And this is what he says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is not vain to serve God. In fact, there is nothing better we can do with our life, because everything we invest in this life, the moment we die, it stays here. But everything we invest in eternity, we get to receive the blessing for all eternity. You know, that's one of the things that I realized when God called me out. I was going out of obedience to it, but I realized that if I'm serving God here, He promises a hundredfold blessing on my life. But not only for this life, but for the next. I don't know about you, but I want that blessing. Because, you know, a hundredfold, if I had 100% return on my investment here, and if I invested some money in the stock market or in a mutual fund or something like that, if I invested it and I got 100% return on it, I'd be ecstatic. But if I died the next day, it would mean nothing. But I'm going to get 100% return on my investment for all eternity. So when I die, I get to enjoy that for all eternity. God's going to bless you. And so it is not vain to serve God. Never, never think that anything you do for God is in vain. It is not in vain. And that's what he says there in Galatians 6:9. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And that's exactly what we need to realize, that there is going to be tough times. We know that Satan's going to attack. Your pastor has already alluded to that, that as we have been wanting to do more, wanting every single one of us to care more for world evangelism and for the neighbors around here, as we want to care for those things, Satan is going to attack. He's going to make it hard. He's going to make it some wearisome at times. But don't grow weary. Know that it is not in vain to serve God. And we can serve Him, and as we do that, He will bless our service to Him, and we will receive that for all eternity. So in conclusion, as we think about these things, first of all, if you are starting to become disillusioned with serving God, or maybe you've already been to that place, or you're going to be that place in the future, remember, first of all, to draw near to God. Draw near to Him in His Word. Draw near to Him in prayer. Don't lose sight of that. It's sometimes easy for those that are serving God to get so busy serving Him that we forget to spend time with Him. And that's something we must never do. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near unto you. But then also prove Him. And now we're talking about proving Him this week is by asking Him, "What would you have me to put on that faith promise card? What's my part in this?" And again, remember, this is a free will offering. It's saying, "God, I just want to honor you. What would you have me to do? I will put down the number that you want me to put down. Trust in you. Believe in you that I can't outgive you." And as we do that, you will see as God provides that money, as He blesses your life and prevents the devourer from coming in and allowing your finances to be able to sustain that, you'll be amazed, and it will stir your heart to want to do more for Him. And then lastly, don't ever think that it's vain serving God. Know that there's a hundredfold investment in the future, that God will bless you for all eternity. But everything that you do on this earth, and we do it for God, our service to Him, as we serve in our workplace, as we serve in all the things we do it unto Him. But the things that we do specifically for His kingdom, it is not in vain. We must never forget that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each person that is